So welcome everybody to Wednesday night meditation brought to you by the Care Group. We've got our AV under control and we're ready to roll.
Yep.
And tonight's speaker is Mahinda, and he is going to be talking about death contemplation. But before I hand over to Mahinda, I just have a couple of announcements. Well, three actually. And the first one is that the care line is open and ready to take your calls. So just a little bit about the care group. We're a collection of lay community volunteers, and on a Wednesday night we have a care line operating, which is like a listening ear service. So if you feel like you would like to call the line, the line's open to everyone. It's staffed by lay people, so we're here in Perth, we're not out at the monasteries, so it'd be lay people that you're talking to. We live in the world and we're ready to listen. So if you're feeling troubled, if you're feeling lonely, if there's something you'd like to talk about, then please give us a call. The second announcement, which is very exciting, is that the care group are holding a retreat, which will be down at Jhana Grove in Serpentine, and that will be from the 3rd to the 5th of December. It's going to be a really beautiful event. It's shaping up quite nicely. We'll be learning about reflective listening. We'll have Ajahn Brahmali come and give the introduction talk. We've even got a filmmaker coming to show a short film, and you'll learn a lot more about the opportunities and pathways available to you through the care group as we try and extend, live our Dharma in the community. And the third announcement is an important one from Dharmasara Nuns Monastery. They're having a busy bee on Sunday to help clear the fire breaks. And I was up there on Sunday, and I know Ajahn Hasupana is very keen to get some help with these fire breaks, because I think there's only about 10 nuns there at the moment. So if you can help, then please come along. So I'll hand you over to Mahinda for a beautiful talk on death contemplation.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. As Sandra mentioned, today's topic is death contemplation. I think I am very well qualified to speak on this subject as I am progressively moving towards that event. Long time ago, when I was working, I followed a management development residential training program sponsored by the company I was working. And there was about a half a day session done by an insurance company, an insurance agent. He spoke of many aspects of insurance, including company insurance, various other things, and about 45 minutes talk was on life insurance. He said he will ask about 4 W questions and went on to say when, where, what, and how. So one of the participants said, when, where, what, or W, but how come, how becomes a W question? He promptly replied, how ends up with a W, H-O-W, thereby it's a W question. But he went on to say how it is important to have life insurance. The participants may have mortgages. You may have another additional mortgage on a investment property. Your children might be in private schools, and you might have so many other commitments. Supposing you die all of a sudden, what is your plan to manage that financial management of all these your commitments. So he emphasized the importance of life insurance, which I thought was true at that time. Now in old age, I believe I don't have any life insurance and I don't have very many commitments either. There was another speaker who was a lawyer. He again raised an equally important question. He said, every head of family should have a properly written, documented will. He said, if you have prepare a will clearly defining all your what you want the rest of the people to do in case of a sudden death. He emphasized on it very much. So we listened to it, both above referred, it was a very philosophical piece of information now coming to think of it, though the motives were different. I was not fraternizing either parties. Today's topic, coming back to it, Lord Buddha never discovered death. Death was already there, long before he was born. Lord Buddha's mother, Queen Mahamaya, passed away just 7 days after he was born. Even Lord Buddha, during his lay life as Prince Siddhartha, he left all the princely comforts, having seen an old person, a sick person, and a dead body. Lord Buddha discovered death as part of a long sequence of events which has never an ending reaction. It's a recurring thing. But once he discovered this, he showed a way out to stop this sad line of events with so many avenues of Dhamma. So at birth, we bring death. Death is a common phenomena which would happen on any day, today, tomorrow, or any other day. We don't know when, but as the insurance agent said, we are sure about it. We don't know when, where, and how. This is a true story I'm relating of a person. I know him very well. He practices meditation very well and is an excellent meditator. He told me that he had so many complications like heart, asbestos related, and various other ailments. His medical specialist told him, look, things are not that good. I think it's time you put your things in order. So this went on. This was about 15 to 18 years ago, and the guy is still living. So when he related this story to me, I said, why don't you go and tell the specialist that you are okay up to now? He said, Mahinda, how can I do that? The medical specialist passed away after a few years. So you can see how uncertain event this death is. Even Lord Buddha passed away having attained enlightenment. What hope for us? All of us, we realize, I'm going to die, my wife is going to die, husband is going to die, father, mother, everybody. It's a definite event that each one of us will face, whether we like it or not. But however, if we lead a spiritual life, a good life, without hindrances, and practice Dhamma, our next life definitely can be more comfortable and better the way we conduct our affairs in this life. One such good story I'll relate. There's a monk called Ajahn Kalyano in Melbourne, in Warburton. He has a nice monastery. Last time when I visited, when we were in Melbourne, he had about 10 to 12 monks. It's a monk training center. It's a very scenic place. And he and Ajahn Ram were contemporary pupils of Ajahn Chah. He relates how his father passed away after an illness. His father was a very religious person. He lived in south of London in the UK. And when he passed away, his tiny dog was lying on his chest, it seems, during the last few hours. When he breathed the last breath, he was still on his chest. But the good part of the story is, Ajahn Kalyano relates that two senior monks in Thailand, after his father passed away, told him, those two monks were with high spiritual attainments, they have told him, both of them, that his father was reborn in a Deva realm as a Deva. So this is not a story. Actually, at the end of my talk, you can see the link and listen to Ajahn Kalyano's word if you wish to follow this. So that clearly shows what Ajahn Kalyano says is, my father conducted a very good life and a very religious life, and he was helpful to so many others. And I'm so relieved to hear from very learned and monks with high spiritual attainment to know that my father is in a better place. I'm relating this to confirm and show confidence how we should conduct our affairs now when we face that ultimate event of death, that we can go to a better place. So what is this death? We call ourselves me, myself, and so many self-centered explanations. This me has two components. One is our body, the other is our mind or consciousness, or as Ajahn Brahm calls it, consciousnesses. When consciousness leaves the body, death occurs. Lord Buddha has compared this in Nalakalapa Sutra as if two bundles of bamboo kept together, one supporting the other. When one falls, the other falls. They can stand firm as long as they are together, but when one leaves, the other falls. That is how Lord Buddha describes it. Once the consciousness leaves the body is a lifeless item. Let us compare a dead body on the ground and a log from a tree also lying on the ground. Now, the dead body has no consciousness, it is just a body. So is the trunk of the tree, the log. What will happen over a period of time? A dead body, obviously exposed to the elements, will swell, will turn blue, will split, and fluids will flow out of the body onto the ground. Similarly, the log, also the bark will collapse and gradual deterioration will take place, and both items will end up on the earth. If we examine the characteristics of both these items, both of them will have the four elements we talk about it, Apo, Tejo, Vayu, Patavi, English translation as the watery nature of it, and the heat or the fire nature of it, the gaseous, and the earthly or the hardness. Both have, but both will end up as part of the earth. What happens to the consciousness or the mind? Once the mind leaves the body, it will go and replant itself on another life. And that is how the rebirth occurs, or pratisandhi vinyane, as you call it in Pali. That decision where to go is totally dependent on how we conduct our affairs in this life. That is the karmic forces we are talking about it. In a very short period of time, this is okay, how I can explain it. So this, having said that, I have heard and I am told the mind can stay alone, lead a life in the Brahma world for a certain period of time. It's not a forever living. That's the only situation where the mind that departed from the body can stay in a very rare situation. It can happen, depends on how your good karma is. Otherwise, it has to go and it has to seek another life and continue. This is the sansaric cycle we are talking about it. So, death contemplation is to prepare ourselves for this departing moment. It's not something that you can achieve in a 30-minute talk or 1-hour meditation. It's a very tedious, disappointing, emotional situation we must make an attempt to achieve. You need to practice it day in, day out. It's not, we need to understand the impermanence of the world. Ask yourself daily, I'm going to die. Am I ready for it? So it's important to follow the Buddha's teachings towards this recurring cycle of life and how we can prepare. What are our long-term goals towards this? Actually, our long-term goals is to free this mind from greed, anger, delusion, and attachment, and walk towards the highest goal of Nibbana. Buddha encouraged us to reflect on impermanence of life and to be mindful and clearly see how our mind gets intoxicated with greed in doing our daily activities. This brings us to the question of how. How can we do that? A very starting point as a person, I can say from my experience, is to start observing 5 precepts. That is the most basic step we can do without much effort to think about it. Though I say much effort, if you are going to conduct all your daily activities by observing 5 precepts, it's easy to say, but all of us, we know how, what sort of effort we have to put in to observe the 5 precepts. I'm not going to get into details. If you can do that, the next area is to observe the 4 Brahma Viharas. I'm not going to, in this 30 minutes, go into details. We know it's loving kindness, compassion, empathic joy, equanimity, metta, karuna, mudita, upeksha. So knowledge of these subjects, if we ask everybody, do you know 5 precepts? They will say, yes, we know 5 precepts. You know four Brahma Viharas? Yes. You know Eightfold Path? Yes. You know 37 Bodhipaksha Dharma? Yes. But that is knowledge. That's like reading a storybook. But how many of us are actually practicing it? That is the important thing. If you have any urge, need, and willingness to get to a better place, start from the five precepts, and as we progress along, that way we can work towards a good ending in our life. As I said, knowledge of a subject is one thing, putting it to practice is another thing. There are no shortcuts. We all are aware of the famous simile of Ajahn Brahm, how a monk told a certain businessman, "You must always be focused and cast your thoughts on Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha." So this guy had three sons. He renamed the three sons Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, so he always remembers that. In his business activities, he used to call Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha in doing business, because now the monk told him, stupid enough, he accepted it like that, he's practicing Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. And later on in life, he was ill. He fell seriously ill and he was dying. He was in deathbed. So his three sons, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, was around his bed. And he was about to pass out. He looked at and said, "All three of you are here. Who's looking after the shop?" That was his departing consciousness. He may have, this is not a story of mine, this is Ajahn Brahm's. Lord Buddha once asked a group of monks how they practice death meditation. The first monk, this is recorded one of the sutra, in sutras, the first monk replied, "The night will pass and the dawn will come tomorrow. I'm not sure whether I will last to see the end of the next day." I always think of like that. Lord Buddha said, no, that's not the way to practice death meditation. He asked the second monk. The second monk said, "The night will go and I might not live to see the day tomorrow. I might die." He said, "That's not true. That's not the correct way." He asked the third monk. Third monk said, "I will take a breath in, I will breathe in, and I may not live to see the breath going out." Lord Buddha said, "That's the correct way, and that is how impermanent our lives are." To practice Dhamma, to practice death meditation, you need to think about it deeply. I don't have to educate any one of you all about death. We know it's not easy to, the way you press the delete button on a desk, on a keyboard, it's much more difficult. We can go on saying death is certain, life is uncertain, but that doesn't take you to where we should understand this properly. We should seriously think. It's a very unpleasant thought when you think, "Yeah, I'm going to die." Immediately, what comes to your mind? Your attachments. If you are a family person, you have two children, you have a mortgage to pay, and so many other commitments. You have a social image you hold. You are the president, you are the responsible person of an organization. All these are attachments. If you are going to think about death, this unpleasant thought will come to you. You have to, every time you think, I'm sure we go away from that thought. But death meditation or death contemplation is to understand that basic truth, that this will happen, this happens to everybody, and this will happen to me. If you examine your thoughts on these lines, gradually you will have to accept it. Whether you, in your own mind, in your thought process, accept it or not, it is immaterial. It will happen. But as Buddhists, the best way to accept it is to realize how the departing consciousness or chuttacitta or death, last minutes of thought, will decide which direction you are going. That departing consciousness can be conditioned only by the way we conduct our daily affairs. If we are immersed in anger and other five hindrances, you are not going to go far. At the end point, you might die being angry with somebody or having been disappointed in so many things. But if you do death contemplation, death meditation, you will realize there are other ways of doing it. You can recall every time go and think of death meditation, recall the good things you have done, the meritorious things you have done. That gives a sense of relief. Oh, I have done this, I have helped the Buddhist society, I have taken dana to so many monks, and I have taken dana to orphanages, and I have given to food to so many people, I have helped so many friends, I have helped the needy. When you do things like that, you can recall those things. If you have a good credit balance like that, then you can be comfortable when you go to practice death meditation. So we shouldn't run away from that. We should think of the good things you have done and continue to improve that activities in that area, so that every time you go to do death meditation, you can recall those things and you can feel happy. I'll just give a very small analogy to a similar situation, how you can get into this. Just imagine, visualize, you are given a job opportunity in a developing country where you don't have GPS. And you are given accommodation about 20, 30 kilometers away from the workplace. And the roads are horrible and they are not properly laid out. So you have to drive from your residence to the workplace. So what is the first day you do? It's a foreign country, no GPS. So you will carefully write down the route, no? 3 kilometers, then you come at T junction, then you do a left turn. Another about 4 kilometers, then you do a right turn. Then there's a roundabout, take the second exit like that, write down everything in details because you are going to drive. It'll be such a difficult task, but you have to do it. And with a lot of effort, somehow or other, you will arrive at your workplace the first day. The second day will be equally difficult, and still you make it. Third, the fourth day, and by the end of the week, you are fairly familiar with the route and it's not that difficult. So death contemplation is also like that. The first time you sit to do death contemplation, death meditation, it will disappoint you. Oh, what is this? I have so many things to do. I have mortgages to pay. I'm in this society, that society. I'm planning to buy a new car. The thoughts will immediately take you away from it. But if you are persistent, and if you try to be realistic about this death, and at the same time, you can look at and say, the good things I have done these things, I have achieved all these things. So these things will help. So I must do more and more similar things. So if you go on practicing like that, gradually, as you became familiar with the road to the new office, gradually, it's not as easy as that, I can tell you. But the only way is to continue practicing it. It is very easy to say, death is certain, life is uncertain, verbally. But the important thing is how you take it into your mind, into your thought process, and continue to practice. That's the only way you can realize the importance of this. And over a period of time, it's an unpleasant experience, I must tell you that. But that's the only way you can really get into death meditation. So today, I believe I will stop there and get into meditation. I listened to a couple of talks by Ajahn Brahmali and other monks on this topic to prepare myself. But I wouldn't suggest, if you are not comfortable with death meditation, please don't do it. If it is unpleasant, don't do it. I wouldn't be giving many instructions on death meditation, but just to start up, I will say, anybody wanting to follow that, please do. Otherwise, you can get into your traditional breath or metta or any other type of meditation. So we'll start on that. Make yourself comfortable. If you are going to follow death meditation, imagine you are in a hospital or in a room dressed up in white, lying on the bed, and thoughts will come to your mind. I have so much of commitments. I must say goodbye to my family. All those thoughts will come. But I'm doing this because I have no choice. I'm not in control of it. Firstly, I will forgive all people who have done some wrong to me in my life. Next, I will seek forgiveness from all people whom I may have wronged. Again, I'm reminding, if you are uncomfortable with this line of thinking, please switch off and get back to your normal way of meditating. I will not move any further with the instructions and leave it to you. At the end of the time period, I will ring the gong. Thank you. We are coming to the end of the period. I will ring the gong noise. Thank you very much. If any comments or questions, I'm willing to.
Any questions? Come on, there must be one. Right. Well, it's often hard to ask questions after such a beautiful meditation. So thank you, Mahinda.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Beautiful meditation. And just to remind people that the care line is open, so if anything arose for you during the meditation or the talk, feel free to give the care line a call. Remember, the care group retreat is on the 3rd to the 5th of December, and at the bottom of the screen you'll see the care group email. So if you're local and you'd like to come along, please email the care group. And we'll get a Google form out to you so you can register. And lastly, okay. Dhammasara.
Yeah. Sunday.
Sunday. Fire breaks. It is so beautiful up there. So you can do good deeds, gain good merits while enjoying the forest.
And if you're coming, please come with walking shoes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Bring sturdy boots, good walking shoes, and water, and a hat, and sunscreen.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe it, but we are heading into summer.
No. So thank you very much. We'll pay respect.
Just to say that there's tea and chat just across the other side there. So welcome to come and meet each other in a formal way and maybe ask a few significant questions.
Oh, yes. The tea and chat's the best part. I mean, your meditation is wonderful, but fellowship, just as important as meditation. And I tell you, the tea table is lively. So come along.